Testing, testing, testing. This is Betty Trunell for the Decatur Public Library. Our guest today is Mrs. H.F. Carmichael. Well, Mrs. Carmichael, I believe that your husband had a position with the Decatur Public Schools. Is that correct?
Yes. He came to Decatur in 1917, I would say, 16 or 17, and he was first, came as a principal under Mr. Engelman, and was a principal for 1 year of the old Jackson Street School, which I think has been demolished. And after that was closed, he went to Durfee School and was there for 3 years. And that was the beginning of the junior high school movement in Decatur. Then they had opened another small junior high school in the old old high school, and Mr. Unaware was principal there, and he left Decatur, and my husband was, when he left Durfee, was made principal of the junior high in the old high school. I forget just where it was. It was close to the present high school, though. I mean the Stephen Decatur High School. And he was there, I think, 2 years when Roosevelt School was built on Grand Avenue. He even helped in the construction of that. You know, teachers weren't paid during the summer, so they found summer work. And he found work on construction of the Roosevelt Junior High School, so he helped build it. And in 21 or 22 that he opened that building. It was built for to accommodate about 700. And by that time we were getting into the true junior high school movement. It was a movement all over the land. And he came into that building with 1,000 students. When, as I said, it was built only for about 700. It took in all of the west side of Decatur at that time. And they had nothing. They had the building, and that was all. They didn't have any equipment, whatever. They didn't even have a curtain for their stage. They didn't have a piano. But the parents rallied, and they got busy, they donated, they had a big carnival and made a lot of money and bought a piano and bought a new stage curtain. And one of the patrons, Mr. Ed Powers, gave the equipment for the dining room so that the home ec department could, they did have some stoves that they could teach some cooking. And he gave the equipment for the dining room, and they equipped that. And they really had a lot of school spirit.
How long was your husband principal there?
From the time it opened until he died in 1943.
Well, he must have had a special regard for that building, those bricks that he put in himself.
Yep. And he was very fond of and believed in the junior high school movement sincerely. Mm-hmm. He visited one of the model schools in, I think, in St. Louis at that time that was moving along, and he was thoroughly sold on mm-hmm. the true junior high school movement, which means the plan of 6-3-3, the first mm-hmm. six grades in one department, and then the junior high, that would be the 7th, 8th, and 9th in the next department, and then the 10th, 11th, and 12th years in that.
Well, Mrs. Carmichael, that's certainly interesting about the Decatur schools and your husband's association with it. But I don't believe you've always lived in Decatur, have you? Where were you born?
No, we were both natives of Indiana. I was born in Posey County, Indiana, which is known for its fine melons, and near the little town of Poseyville. A lot of people think that means flowers, but it doesn't. It was named for the first lieutenant governor of the Indiana Territory, Mr. Posey. And that was where the county got its name. We're the corner county. They always say we're from down in the pocket, where the Ohio River and the Wabash come together down there, and that's our corner county. I finished high school in Poseyville, Indiana, and right away entered Indiana State Teachers College in Terre Haute. I graduated on an accelerated course there in 1917. It was there that I met my husband, who was originally from Brown County and had had all his teaching time in Indiana. And so we stayed good friends for two or three years, and he came to Decatur to teach, and I came. We were married, and I met him in Terre Haute, and we were married and came to Decatur to live, and I've lived here ever since.
Well, that really is a very romantic beginning to your association. And now, have you always lived in this house?
No, we lived first, for a short time, we lived in a rental property on West Packard Street. And then we bought a little cottage at 1820 North Church. And at that time, everybody in Decatur was talking about the crusade that Billy Sunday had here in Decatur, and how the church memberships were enlarged so much. And they were, when I came here, they were very thrilled about having had Billy Sunday here.
Mrs. Carmichael, maybe you might have to explain who Billy Sunday was for the sake of some of the younger listeners.
Well, he was an evangelist very comparable to Billy Graham. He had the Crusades just the same. And they had Billy Sunday in Decatur, they built a huge tabernacle. That was before my time. It was over by the time I got here. But when we bought the little house on North Church Street from these English people, they had planted a beautiful garden in the backyard. Being from England, they loved their flowers and their garden. And back at the end of the garden was a garage. And one of the neighbors came over after we had gotten settled down there and said, "I think you people will be interested to know that your garage was built out of the lumber from Billy Sunday's tabernacle." So I don't know whether that garage is still standing or not, but it was always of interest to us because it was part of Billy Sunday's tabernacle. And he did his crusade, I understand, was very successful in Decatur.
So if that garage is still standing, it certainly does have a historic connection in Decatur.
I know that's right, because the man that came over, it was one of the Stouffer brothers were prominent builders at that time, and it was Mr. George Stouffer that came over and told my husband where the garage came from.
Well, now, I believe that you have done some teaching yourself, haven't you?
Yes, I did all the regular teaching that I did in Indiana. I taught over there for 3 years. Started in a little one-room country school, which I had never been in one before, but that's where I got my start, and I never worked so hard anywhere in my life. To have 8 grades and have to get them 15-minute recitation, one right after another, I thought I couldn't do it, but I did. And then from there, I went into back to Indiana State and finished and taught in a small high school in southern Indiana and until I was married.
And you did one time teach here, didn't you?
I just substituted here, and then I taught 2 years in the, I taught mathematics in the night school when my husband was principal of the night school.
What about your family, Mrs. Carmichael?
We have one daughter who is an English teacher in the community college in Astoria, Oregon. And she has 3 teenage children, and all in high school now. And they were here to visit me this summer. And they like Decatur. They love to come to Grandma's house.
Well, I believe you also have some other outside interests. Is the church one of your interests?
Yes, church is one of my interests, and I that always has to come first. And my daughter being a Tri-Delta, I'm a member of the Tri-Psi Mothers group. And then I belong to the Decatur Art Class, which is, I think, the oldest organized women's group in Decatur.
Maybe you could tell us a little bit about this. What are the activities?
Well, we have nothing but self-improvement was the only object. We have no projects at all in Decatur Art Class. Your only obligation is to give one paper a year and furnish your home for the meeting, at one meeting per year. And we meet every Saturday afternoon beginning in October and go up until about the 1st of April, every Saturday afternoon, except on the holiday.
How long has this organization been going?
I'm not quite sure. It's almost 100 years. I believe it'll be, I think our birthday tea this year will be, I believe, the 97th.
Well, that really is a remarkable history for a group.
Mrs. Anna B. Milliken was one of the founders. I think it started with 11 women. They used to meet in the Milliken home. There was a room there at the in the Milliken home where they frequently met when Mrs. Milliken was a member.
You have enjoyed your life in Decatur, haven't you?
Very much, very much. I didn't think much of it on the start because we were married in that very, very cold winter of 1917-18, and the thermometer dropped below zero every night when I got here for 2 weeks, and I thought it was about the coldest place I had ever seen.
Decatur gave you a cold reception.
They certainly did. We still hear in the records, weather records, about that cold winter, and it was everything they say it is.
Well, what about Decatur today? Do you have any reaction to the life around here today?
Oh, I'm afraid I don't have much to say about today because it's since my vision is impaired, I go out and I go to church, mm-hmm. go to First Methodist Church all the time. And,
I believe you said that you listened to the Talking Books program, is that right?
Yes.
Maybe you could explain a little bit about that service.
It is federally financed, I'm sure, because it is available to everyone who has impaired vision, and all you have to do is get your doctor to say that that's what you need, and this service is provided entirely free of charge to the anybody but the taxpayers. My daughter says it's gratifying to see that the taxpayers' money is going for something so worthwhile.
These are recordings of books.
Oh, it's not just books. Yes, it's books, and it's a lot of magazines. Mm-hmm. Now, I take only 3 magazines myself because I don't like to get things stacked up to mm-hmm. where I can't mm-hmm. handle them. And about the only magazines I've been reading are Guideposts and Reader's Digest mm-hmm. and Farm Journal. Mm-hmm. And U.S. News and World Report, they've been sending. I didn't mm-hmm. order that.
And you say you listen to these on recordings. You read them by listening on recordings.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Well, you probably are better informed than many people with perfect vision.
Well, I don't know about that. It depends on what you like to read, but I've certainly read some very interesting books. Right now, I have one I can hardly wait to get into. On the national parks. Mm-hmm. There's 2 volumes of national mm-hmm. parks, and mm-hmm. I just have mm-hmm. the first one.
Is this a service through the library?
The Rolling Prairie Library.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know really what the connection is between the public library and the Rolling Prairie mm-hmm. Library.
But it is available through the Rolling
yes,
Prairie
through,
Library.
Through the Rolling Prairie mm-hmm. Library.
Well, that is really a remarkable service to the community, to the people of the United States, as you say, in general.
It's just mm-hmm. invaluable.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mrs. Carmichael, we really appreciate your sharing your reminiscences with us. I'm sure that people in Decatur will like to be reminded of some of the past history that you've lived through, and wish you a long and very enriching life, more to come. So we thank you very much.
Well, I thank mm-hmm. you for asking me. I hope I have given what you need and something that will be worthwhile in the future.
It has been very worthwhile.
Anytime I can help, I'll be happy to.
Thank you. You have been listening to the experiences of Mrs. H.F. Carmichael for the Decatur Public Library. And this is Betty Turnell speaking.